Steve and Darren about to drop top five things like Galileo dropped the orange.
Oh, I could go for an orange.
Drop? Really? When's the last time you had any citrus?
Any citrus?
Yeah. Screwdrivers don't count.
Boy, you're putting me on... Well, you're putting me on the spot.
No? Haven't had any citrus in the last week?
No, I think...
Oh, you got to, Darren. It's so important to get your vitamin C. You simply must.
I take in a lot of tomato juice.
Well, that helps. Plenty of vitamin C in tomatoes. You should be good. But tomato's not technically a citrus plant. Welcome to the Top 5 Things podcast. More scintillating conversation coming your way. In fact,
right here on the loon.
The power loon. These are the top 5 things that we got done on our morning show on Planet 93.9. I should mention there'll be a patron show dropping just after this one drops.
Drop.
And also that we will be on vacation next week. So when you don't hear us on the radio next week, nothing's happened. Everything's fine, unless you hear Christmas music. Then you know.
I tell you what, maybe that's why I hate Christmas in July. Maybe I'm just now figuring this out. How unnecessary it is.
Yeah.
God almighty. We've got 3 months of Christmas at the end of the year.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, cool it with that. Flat water.
Let's get started with the top five things, and we'll begin as we always do.
Where?
Number one.
Number one.
I've got a Florida man story.
Florida.
Damn.
Felony charges over a dead rooster. Man says he had to kill his neighbor's rooster. Didn't have any choice. Don't you see? Here's the explanation the man gives for killing his neighbor's rooster.
Well, I went to jail. They come arrested me last Thursday. They were here.
I losing the animals, but I was not expecting them losing to my neighbor. That was like my friend.
Neighbors in a fight over a dead rooster, and one of them facing a felony charge. Aggravated animal cruelty is a third-degree felony, meaning that he could face up to 5 years in prison. I'm Tanika Hughes.
I'm Ben Becker, in for John Bachman. Actually, Jack's Kristen Rary's
I was going to ask, where's John Bachman at? glad to know that everything's cool with John Bachman.
Wait a minute, where's John?
Hang on a second.
Is he on assignment? Is he sick?
I'm already not okay with this story involving a dead rooster.
Is he already dead?
Is he dead
as this rooster. John Bachman's as dead as this rooster. Hi, what's the guy's name?
This guy? Yeah, I don't know, but I'll tell you
I'm
this.
I'm Don Tucker.
He's no John Bachman, I'll tell you that.
John Bachman's as dead as this rooster. And now the story.
Yeah, so, Kristen, all right, so you spoke to both neighbors who disagree on how and why the rooster died.
By the way, I just want to point out, tonight's top story is two neighbors arguing over a dead rooster. This is down in Jacksonville. Ladies and gentlemen, our top story, two men argue over a dead rooster.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, and the two neighbors say they will not come to an agreement, but no matter what, it ended with one of them spending 30 hours inside the jail on an animal cruelty charge he says he disagrees with.
I didn't know to give it a 21-gun salute, CPR, mouth-to-mouth, you know, or call the chicken ambulance.
Big Roo was Jason DeFelice's pet rooster. That is, until James Nix hit it with a stick.
So I'm defending myself. You know, I was feared for my safety, and the chicken, you know, died.
Nick says the rooster attacked people.
I have not heard that, because I know the neighbor here. I know him. Like, we're friends. He never said anything to me about it.
I did tell him, after the chicken hit my dad, I said, hey, man, the chicken attacked my dad. Oh, what's he doing? It's just a chicken. What's he gonna do? You know, okay, well, look.
The neighbors even disagree on how others saw Big Roo.
The kids that used to live over there, they were throwing rocks and sticks at this chicken to keep it away.
I know the kids down here, they played with the rooster a little bit, like would throw rocks at it and chase it.
So yeah, okay, that's not playing with the rooster.
No.
I had a rooster and I let him run around the neighborhood. Kids love to play with him. by throwing rocks and sticks at him.
Neither one of these guys splitting the atom anytime soon.
No, the cure for cancer is not coming from this this particular part of Florida.
One day when Nick says the rooster followed him and attacked him.
His neck flares up and he's doing his thing and he's trying to jump up at me.
He was trying to get the animal away.
And I try to hit it, but the chicken's jumping up at me and I accidentally knocked it in the head. You know, call it a lucky shot, whatever.
But when Dave...
One in a million! I know how the hell I killed that rooster, but it happened. Call it a lucky... Am I a hero? I don't know.
Lise came home. All he saw was his rooster dead in a ditch.
I said, I'm calling JSO. I called JSO. JSO didn't do nothing. And then a couple days later, I realized I could call animal control.
And in late June, James Nix went to jail for animal cruelty.
Next thing you know, he calls the chicken police on me.
While the neighbors continue the fight, Nick says he never should have been arrested.
Chickens are dying every day, people, at churches, Popeyes, and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Really.
Well, it's quite a defense.
I mean, listen.
I thought at first, I didn't realize he meant church's chicken.
I thought he was talking about... Santeria is a real thing. They're sacrificing chicken all up and down the coastline.
I thought we were talking about chicken sacrifices.
No. He's talking about delicious chicken. Right. Well, one, we don't eat roosters. Two, those chickens are raised not as pets, but as food. I hate to say this, though. I think I'm on this lunatic's side. You just can't let your rooster run around and chase people, right?
It wasn't fenced in?
No. It looks like this is some sort of trailer court that they live in deep in the jungles of Jacksonville County.
You don't say.
And Dave Felice says he might move out after all of this, but Nick says he's been there for 50 years, and he doesn't plan on moving anytime soon. Now, if you'd like to see his full interview, you can see that on our web article. For local coverage you can count on in Jacksonville, Kristen Rary, Action News Jax.
It's just a shame to me that John Colton or whatever missed this story. Probably dreading the fact that he's not here for this groundbreaking story about two Floridian men in their rooster dispute. He called the chicken police on me. I gotta save that as a drop.
Number two.
There are nights where you might find it hard to fall asleep because you're replaying in your head the tape of the day and you're thinking about interactions that you had and you wonder, gosh, should I have said the thing that I said or done the thing that I did? And what's maddening is you just sit there and you lay and you obsess over it. And I think you'll find more often than not, the people that you think maybe took something the wrong way haven't given it a second thought.
That's probably the case.
That
they didn't even notice it.
Right. I had an occasion a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to a friend, and it was something that had bothered me for almost a year.
Yeah.
I said something that was pretty careless and thoughtless.
Yeah.
And I apologized to him, and his reaction was, I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Right? I felt good to
now
say...
Now, it's possible they remember.
Sorry. No. Genuinely, it wasn't.
It's possible they remember and think, how dare you?
No.
And they've been up nights since then.
Well, it just has bothered me for all this time because I thought, why would I say something so stupid, so careless? This is a buddy of mine. His first wife passed away, and then he got remarried, and that marriage didn't work out. And now he's met this girl and got married, and everything's terrific. And just before he got married, I called to wish him congratulations and give him my
marriage.
Best wishes. Yes. And I said, well, third time's the charm, I guess.
Yeah.
Which was a stupid thing to say because...
Yeah, but it's not that... It's not really...
Well, but it's like in my head, you
third
see
third time's a charm, though. It's not like you didn't have success with the first two. You lost the first one.
Right. If the first one hadn't passed away...
Then it would have been...
Exactly. Yeah. No. Exactly.
Yeah.
And as I offered my apology, he's like, it's ridiculous. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But for all this time, I've felt weird. Like, I've just been playing it over and over in my head. Like, why would I say something so stupid?
Yeah.
Why is everything going to be a joke, Lavora? Why can't you just have an actual human interaction with a good friend? You know what I'm saying? You can replay these interactions to the point where it drives you so crazy and you think the only way to get an answer, whether you're right or wrong, is to go on to a subreddit here and ask complete strangers, hey, am I a jerk?
Uh-huh.
I have a couple of these I want to share with you. This one, am I a jerk for throwing away the food that my wife put in the freezer and then putting a padlock on the freezer?
What? What are you doing?
I'm 39 years old, and I've been married to my wife, who's 32, for 4 years. We usually get along just fine.
Yeah?
One of the issues that we've had since our relationship began has been about our freezer.
Uh-huh.
Simply put, my wife stuffs the freezer full of food constantly.
Yes.
There is absolutely zero space for me to put anything in there.
Put anything, yes.
I'm just gonna say right now... stop reading here. This is a very common problem, I think, in houses
I think so.
Across America.
Yes. Now, okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Being that it is a common problem,
mm-hmm.
are you the stuffer?
No.
You're not.
No.
Yeah, see, I am the stuffer.
You put everything in the freezer.
I'm the stuffer.
Yeah, no, my wife's the stuffer.
Uh-huh.
There's a freezer in our kitchen. I have nothing in there. Absolutely nothing.
And you just... don't even consider it.
No, it's not for me.
It's not that. No. That's not.
That doesn't belong.
That's
to
not
me.
Mine.
No, exactly.
I'm allowed to use the other part of the refrigerator, right. But the freezer on top.
Right.
Not mine.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Back to the problem here. The person who wonders if they're a jerk for throwing away the food that his wife put in the freezer and then putting a padlock on it. He continues.
Yeah.
At first, I tried to solve this by buying the fridge with the biggest freezer we could find.
Okay.
I dropped nearly $4,000 on it.
Whew.
She interpreted this as an invitation to buy more frozen food so she could play microwave dinner Tetris with the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Every single nook and cranny is stuffed full, and she still buys frozen foods and somehow finds a way to fit them in. The worst part is when I buy frozen food or freeze something for meal prep, she asks me at least 3 to 4 times a day when I'm going to take it out of the freezer.
Oh.
Essentially nags me until I remove the food from the freezer.
Or use it.
So she can put something she won't be touching for 6 months in its place.
Right.
Last weekend, I finally snapped, and I bought an inexpensive single-door deep freezer.
Okay.
I put it in the basement near the washer and dryer
and
put a couple of my own things in there, mostly some frozen veggies and a couple of burritos.
Yes.
I didn't really mention it to my wife because she wasn't home when I brought it in.
Uh-huh.
When my wife got home later in that day, she went downstairs to do laundry and discovered my freezer.
And?
She excitedly ran upstairs to tell me that the upstairs one is full and she can actually fit more food in there now. I responded,
"That's my freezer.
Under no circumstances is she to touch the freezer because that freezer is mine."
Uh-huh.
I told her not to even ask. Because I knew she'd mentioned it 3 to 4 times a day that she needs more freezer room.
Yeah.
She sulked and tried to debate the issue, but I was able to placate her.
Uh-huh.
A couple days later, I went down to the basement to get something from my freezer.
And
there I found 70% of it was full of microwave dinners. Upon checking the freezer in our kitchen, I found that it, too, was still completely full. I calmly went downstairs with a large garbage bag, threw everything into it, and then tossed it in the trash.
Oh, man.
Then I found a padlock that I had lying around, and I locked it with a chain. Later that day, my wife brought home more frozen food to put in the new freezer. But when she got downstairs, she noticed the lock and flipped her lid. She told me I'm being controlling. When I told her there's no way she's ever going to use my freezer again, she threw something like a tantrum and left for her mom's house. She came back later that day and told me I had 24 hours to unlock the freezer. Nothing really happened after those 24 hours, but now she's completely ignoring everything I say. I think my actions were justifiable, but was I in the wrong here? Wow.
You know what I would have done?
Tell me.
I would eat the food that she's putting in there.
Just keep eating it.
I would just keep eating it. It's just like, okay, if you're going to put this in here,
mm-hmm.
I am going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if at that point she doesn't allow me to eat the food. If I can't eat it,
right,
then you have every right to have your own freezer and a lock. I would just start eating the food. I mean, if you're gonna buy this, I'm gonna eat it.
And if you keep bringing more and more of it in, yeah, I'm with you.
I would have tried that first.
I think the whole idea of the padlock, though, that's a little passive aggressive. Because let me tell you something, Norton. Well, a man's house is his castle.
Is it?
I, too, have a deep single-door deep freezer I keep in the garage. Uh-huh. And that's where I keep my frozen pizzas and whatnot.
And it gets left alone?
For the most part. But it's not entirely just for me.
Not entirely.
No.
All right, so what is the professional advice?
Well, everyone's just saying here, it sounds like your wife might have a problem with hoarding food. I mean, there's reason to keep
That's why I'm saying eat
right,
it.
Right.
Unless, of course, she's buying stuff you don't like, but I eat anything.
Yeah, well, I how many microwave dinners are you going to say no to, Petra?
Exactly.
Come on.
Right.
This next one starts, am I a jerk for not serving my mother-in-law's cake at my husband's birthday? She writes, just to be up front, I don't like my mother-in-law at all. We do not get along with each other.
Uh-huh.
We don't argue, and we're usually civil, but we definitely don't have any kind of depth in our relationship.
Yeah.
So because of that, I'm not sure if I was being a jerk or not here. It was my husband's birthday yesterday,
yeah,
and I organized a birthday dinner for him and his family and his closest friends at a restaurant.
Okay. At a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. I wrote in the invitation that I would be bringing a cake.
Yes.
And I ordered some balloons to decorate the table with which would be taken by my husband's best friend of the restaurant.
Okay.
Everyone saw the messages that that's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
It was a surprise dinner. And he thought it was just going to be the two of us having a quiet dinner.
Yeah.
I knew I needed to pick up the cake, so I told him I had errands to run and I would meet him there at the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I get to the restaurant a few minutes before my husband arrives.
That would be strange.
And ask the maitre d' to put the cake in the kitchen fridge until we're ready for it.
If it's your birthday and your wife is telling you I'll meet you at the restaurant,
mm-hmm.
Okay, what's up?
You would think, yeah. I tell the maitre d' to put the cake in the kitchen fridge until we're ready for it. He then tells me, oh, your mother-in-law's already brought an ice cream cake, which is stupid because my husband has allergies. I told them that, no, this is the cake for our party.
Yeah, just bring this one out.
I explained to him that I'm the one that made the reservation, and they were to serve my cake, and they could give the other ice cream cake back to my mother-in-law later.
Let her eat it.
My husband arrived, we all had a lovely dinner, and he loved the cake that I bought for him. When it was served, though, my mother-in-law was glaring daggers at me. After we left the dinner, she's been texting me, calling me a sneaky cow, and threatening to tell my husband that I purposely excluded her cake contribution. She'll probably call him later at work and exaggerate what happened. So before then, I want to know if I'm being a jerk here, or if I could have just served both cakes.
Well, that would have been the easy way out.
If he's allergic, why would she bring the cake? That something doesn't make sense here. I mean, I guess you could have served both cakes. And your mom brought a cake, too, even though
this is going to probably kill you.
Here you go. Eat this cake that could potentially kill you.
Or send you into some sort of bowel cramp hysteria.
A bowel-shaking earthquake of doubt and remorse.
That's right.
Enjoy. Last one. Am I a jerk for refusing to sing a song I've written for my girlfriend at my sister's wedding? Okay.
That's her song.
See, exactly.
I wrote it for her.
You've already got this figured out.
Yeah.
He writes, I'm a sucker for music and songwriting.
Uh-huh.
I haven't written many songs, let alone record any of them. But I had a good inspiration, and I wrote a very touchy one for my girlfriend, who I've been with for 3 years. I even synthesized music for it, and I want to record it and personally give it to my girlfriend because it's a special song for
us. Okay, so she has heard it?
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone's heard it. My family asked me to play them the song since it's the first song that I've finished.
Yeah.
And I did. My sister was very touched, and she asked me to play that song on her wedding day for her and her husband.
Oh.
I said I could try and make another song for you if I have the time and the inspiration, but I don't want to play this song because it's personal for me and my girlfriend, and it's about our relationship.
Yeah.
My sister insisted it's not that big of a deal, and she really just wanted me to play the song.
Well, if it's not that big a deal, then it's easy for someone to say it's not that big a deal, but do it anyway. Because
it's not that big a deal for you. But for me, it's everything.
Right. Because if it's not that big a deal, then drop it. That's not what I'm saying.
It's not a big deal for
you.
I've determined.
Yes, do it.
She insisted it's not that big a deal, and she wants me to play the song. I said I don't want to. It's personal.
Yeah.
She then pulled the, it's my wedding card. I'm your sister. Can't you do me this favor? Can't you make your sister happy? I said again, no. I told her I'd try to write one for her and her husband, but I'm not playing mine. Plus, it would be more touching for me to write her their own song.
Yeah.
Well, she and my parents proceeded to claim that it would be more appropriate for me to sing that song for my sister and her husband on her wedding day, since they've officiated their relationships and are not just using boyfriend and girlfriend. That hit the nail on the head for me, and I said, you know what? Screw you all for what you're doing.
Well, first of all, mom and dad, I can't believe dad is getting involved.
Well, they're actually getting married. You're just a girlfriend and a boyfriend, so what they say matters more.
Your parents shouldn't be getting involved.
I said, this isn't fair at all. The fact that you are all undermining my relationship to make a point is pretty crummy.
Mm-hmm.
My parents, my sister, and her fiancé are now all bugging me about this.
And maybe I don't want to perform in front of the entire wedding thing.
They say I'm a very selfish person who can't do this. Can't do his sister a small favor, and I'm very uptight about this. So am I a jerk? I think the answer to this is very obvious. People are saying, of course, that you're not a jerk.
Yeah.
This is, you know,
this it's your is song.
Not, mm-hmm. But you know, being the spiteful jerk that I am,
yes.
Here's how I handle it. Hey, everybody! Thanks for coming to my sister's wedding. I wrote this song for my girlfriend. If you'd stand up, I'd like to sing it for you.
Yeah, I'll sing it to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. This song's not about my sister or Greg or whatever his name is. This is a song I wrote for mine, and we may only be just dating, but everyone take a note. This is what real love looks like.
Can I get a spotlight on her?
Gretchen, sweetie, stand up. Everybody, give her a round of applause. Isn't she dynamite? Unlike my...
Look at that tight little body. Look at that onion.
Turn around, everybody.
Turn around.
Turn around, sweetie. Show them that apple.
Uh-huh.
Now you're talking. I wrote this song for my girlfriend.
She was my girlfriend. Although she might not appreciate that. That kind of blew up in my face.
Well, now everybody hates me.
Yeah,
Worst wedding ever.
Now I tell you what, I got inspiration for a new song, though. I'll tell you that.
Number three.
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 Wimbledon is happening right now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
At the All England Club?
Second week of that, I think.
How long does... I guess I
it
don't
It will underst- end this weekend.
I don't understand how tennis works.
I think they play for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah, the tournament's 2 weeks long.
So is it double elimination then? Or
no. No, it's not double elimination.
It seems like a long time. How many of these matches are going on?
Well, you got your men singles.
Yeah.
Women singles.
It's more than one court, though, right?
Yeah, they have more than one court.
You got to be able to knock that out in an afternoon.
They'd be there forever.
How many people get to come to this Wimbledon?
Then you would have your men's doubles, women's doubles, and then mixed doubles.
Okay.
So there's plenty of tennis to get through.
Do they all wrap up at the same time, though? They do, don't they?
Well, they're certainly done by Sunday.
Right. This Sunday is when they're done.
Yeah.
All right. But that's when everything's done.
I think so.
Again, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I just don't understand why it takes 2 weeks for a tennis tournament.
Well, I think they've probably got several players, and they don't play every day.
Uh-huh.
If you, like, played a match, you probably have a day off.
Okay. Well, it seems to me you should be able to play every day
if you're a pro.
Well, if that's what you do for a living.
Yeah.
They installed there at the All England Club this year something new. It's called the Quiet Room. And the idea is they wanted to improve the Wimbledon experience by adding a space where guests can, quote, retreat for a moment of private meditation, prayer, or reflection.
Or to just get away from John McEnroe.
Can't be serious. So the idea is, this is kind of overwhelming. You can just kind of go in this quiet room, just have a couple moments to yourself.
Can you still see the match?
No, I don't think so. Oh, I shouldn't think
you
of
just
a
might
quiet
stay
room.
There.
Yeah, no, that's all I would do if it's an air-conditioned room.
I'm going to bring a sandwich and
right.
some
but give me drink. Some of them strawberries and cream, and I'll just be watching it here.
Yeah.
The problem is, and I think you know where this is going, you create a private room for people there at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
It didn't take very long for couples to decide, hey, we can go have sex in there. One Wimbledon fan claimed to have spotted a couple leaving the room with big grins on their faces Monday. Quote, she was in a long flowing summer dress and there was no doubt as to what they'd been up to. Another attendee who went to the quiet room, which consists, by the way, of two adjoining rooms, said that while they were trying to do their meditation, all they could hear was sounds of intimacy coming from the other room. We wanted a nice, quiet space, and instead what we've done is put up an F-shack for people to enjoy.
Did they call it an F-shack?
Sign Dirty Frank and Boys.
I'm not going to mince words.
Spectators have reported seeing sheepish-looking couples emerging from the facility next to Court 12. Most spectators are, in fact, using the room for its intended purpose. However, a woman said she had been praying in the room, and then she witnessed others using it for worship, too. She says, here, it's supposed to be for people wanting a five-minute break. It's a good thing. I've seen elderly people in there to take a break from the sun, people going in to pray, and mothers who want to breastfeed in private.
What are people praying for at the tennis match?
How much money do you have on the... you can wager on this, right? That
was my guess as well.
That would be the only thing to pray about.
They have placed a lot of money on this match.
Right.
And it's not going well.
Oh.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh. Yeah, if people are using it for some sort of mile high club experience there, the Wimbledon High Club, that's not the
F Shack.
That's what they call it.
The F Troop.
Dirty Mike and the Boys say thanks for the F Shack.
There's just a solo picture of Larry Storch in an all white room.
And so we resume with a bang and a boom.
That's right.
F Shack.
Welcome to the F Troop.
Number four.
Victor Hugo Sosa is the mayor of a town in southwest Mexico. The town is called San Pedro Humahuelma. Certain I didn't say that right. I'd like another.
Just go with
give
it.
Give me another chance
just
here.
Just go with it.
San Pedro Humahuelma.
Humahuelma.
I'm sure that's not it either.
What is this, Mexico?
No, you're right. He is the mayor of this town, and he recently got married.
Okay.
To an alligator. An actual, honest-to-God alligator.
At the wedding, I was crying crocodile tears.
I'll never forget.
I just couldn't.
When we left the reception, I said, see you later. I gave her a handbag, which was a dumb present.
Dumb thing to do, and a pair of shoes. Which was a dumb gift.
What was I thinking? He showed, apparently, his commitment to his culture by getting married to this alligator known as Little Princess, Little Princess the Alligator. It's part of a ritual that is supposed to bring prosperity and abundance to the town. Since pre-Hispanic times, indigenous villagers in this town have believed that the alligator represents a deity and that the marriage between this earthly god and their leader will bring about an abundance of resources to support the local fishing industry. So when you run for mayor of this town, you know you're gonna have to marry an alligator. Mr. Sosa says we ask nature for enough rain, for enough food, and that we have fish in the river. With this belief firmly at the center of the community, the mayor, Mr. Sosa, took the leap and got married to Little Princess in a lavish service that was accompanied by dancers and ceremonial songs. Along with the indigenous traditions, Catholic ones were also incorporated. Now, I grew up Catholic. I don't think you can get married to an alligator. I mean, I didn't pay the most attention in CCD class, but I feel like if they had mentioned you could marry an alligator, I would have at least, like, my ears would have perked up a little for that one.
There's a lot that they'll look the other way, but I don't know about marrying an alligator.
The small alligator was dressed in white. Oh, the nerve of that one.
How dare you?
Would you look at this picture of this alligator? This is my favorite thing of the week.
No, that's not right.
That's dressed just, up in a little white wedding dress.
And not thrilled with
hey,
it.
Hey, little gator, it's a nice day to start again.
Yeah. Doesn't look like a happy gator.
No, because they had to tie her snout so she wouldn't, you know, bite the groom. Small alligator dressed in white with an accompanying veil that was swept away from her tightly tied snout. The day before, she was baptized. This is something else that's part of a very beautiful tradition. Again, it's been a while
since I've been... Was she baptized or was she just in a lake? You can call it a baptism if you want, but really... I kind of live here.
This is my pad. Yeah, this is where I hang. You have a crib.
You've got your place, I've got mine.
Alaya Edith is the godmother to the alligator and says it's a very beautiful tradition. Quote, it gives me so much happiness and makes me proud of my roots. This is something that they do in the Chontal and Huave indigenous communities. And it's a yearly occurrence in this town. Every new mayor is required to marry an alligator.
Mm.
They say marriage between human and animal is not as uncommon as you might think. Earlier this year, a British woman got married to her tuxedo cat in an effort to make sure that she wouldn't get kicked out of her apartment for having a pet. Can't kick me out if I'm married to the pet. Didn't think about that, did you?
You didn't see that one coming, did you?
So if they have to do this every year, I guess the mayor probably only serves for a term of 1 year. When you run for this job,
yeah, you know
that part of your, a big part, maybe the biggest part of your responsibilities as mayor of the town of San Pedro Humelula. A big part of your responsibilities is to get married to an alligator. Do you think there are chaps who only
run for the office
because they love alligators?
So that they can get away with marrying one.
Number five.
I was at the Hallmark store yesterday, and they gave me a pamphlet that said that they're running Christmas movies all month long on the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, my God, this whole Christmas in July stuff has got to stop.
There was a woman ahead of me in line. It was my anniversary yesterday, so I had to get the wife a card. And this woman in front of me...
Wait to wait till the last minute.
What am I going to do? What? It's a card.
What?
It's not a pie. I mean, what now, am I going
to
do?
If you were to get her a gift card...
Yeah, I did get her a gift card.
Okay.
Okay. Your hypothetical situation amuses me.
Were you watching me?
Wait a minute.
No, but if you were going to get her a gift card for something that wouldn't do you any good, what would it be? Like, maybe, like a...
You understand the idea of giving someone a gift is that it doesn't do you any good, right?
I understand. But if you were like...
Let me ask you this. If you were to buy your wife a present, but you don't like it, could you even wrap your head around that?
No, but if you were to buy her a gift card to, say, Target...
Yeah.
That could be anything.
Yeah, but my expectation would be that she would spend it on something for herself.
Of course, she probably, she certainly would.
Yeah.
She has no obligation.
Back from Target, huh? What'd you get me with that gift card I got you? Happy anniversary.
I don't see any mini tacos in that bag.
I got her a gift card to Barnes & Noble because she likes to read books.
She likes to read books.
And it never fails. Like, the great thing about my wife is if I get her anything for a bookstore.
Yeah, it's always going to work.
Solid. Yeah, I can't
because
miss.
Because they always keep making books.
They do. It's true. And the books that she buys don't do me any good, but that's okay.
Well, then I think what you just gave us was a solid answer.
This woman in front of me, though. At the store. I just needed to get the anniversary card.
I just got to get the card.
Right. I want to get a card and be on my merry way. And this woman was very interested in having a long discussion about all the things she doesn't care for.
In the store or just in general?
It's a Hallmark store. So the cashier is trying to get this woman to be part of some club. Like, if you join the club... give us your email, you get 12 free cards a month. And this woman's like, well, I would like free cards.
Who needs 12 free cards a month?
Or no, I misspoke. 12 free cards a year. 12 free cards a year. I wouldn't need 12 free cards in a year.
No, I wouldn't need that either.
But when the offer was made to this woman, and having worked retail, I can tell you it's probably one of these deals where they tell the cashiers, we need people to join this club. Make sure you're pitching it to every customer, every interaction you have. Make sure you're offering them to be a part of this club. If we get their email address, they can get free cards, right?
Yeah.
So the woman behind the counter expertly is explaining what the club is, and it's 12 free cards in a year, and if you give us your email. Well, I would like that. Okay, great. Well, what's your email address? I don't like to give that out. And the woman has to explain, well, this is how it works. You give us your email, and then you're in the club. Well, I don't feel that's appropriate for me to be giving that out. I don't... Never mind. I don't do computers. And again, at the outset, it was made very clear that this was you give us your email, you get some sort of benefit, right? I don't know. No. I feel very, very bad about this. I have a bad feeling. I don't want to do it.
Would it make you feel any better if I was to tell you that it's not so much a club as a cult?
Now I'm interested. Now you've got me. And then, the cashier, rather than just saying, okay, well, let's move it along, because the gentleman behind you
is
rolling his eyes in the back of his head. She decides, no, I'm not giving up on this. She goes, well, if you would prefer, we can send you a text. Yes, do that. Send the text. Okay, well, what's your phone number? Well, I'm not going to give you my phone number. How do you think anything works?
Uh-huh.
Well, if you give us your phone number, we send you a text. You just have to reply in an hour, yes, that you want to be in the club. Oh, no, I don't know. No, they tried to do this with Harry. They called and they said they needed his social security number, and I said I didn't have it, and then they wanted mine, the last four numbers, and I feel very bad about all of this. I don't do texts, I don't do computers.
We're not asking for your social security number.
Exactly. No one said anything about your social security number. But at this point, it's very clear that this lady is just not going to be able to or is unwilling to do the thing that she needs to do to get into this club where you get the free cards. But they're not giving up, and they just keep going on and on. Well, we just send you the text. You just have to reply yes. That's all it is. No, I don't do texts. I don't trust it, and I don't do... I feel very bad about all of this. I never should have given you any of my information. And then, finally, it's over, and this lady leaves, and then the woman tries to do the pitch to me, and I'm like, no, that's okay. Well, you know, we don't need a credit card or anything.
No, I understand. And I understand you don't need a blood sample, and I understand you don't need my Social Security number or a credit card number.
Right.
The answer is still no.
The wife and I have one anniversary a year. I need to come into this store once a year to get a card, and then I'm on my merry way.
I'm never coming back.
He probably won't.
I mean, there are other places you can get cards.
Yes.
You don't have to go to Hallmark.
Then usually I do, but for the anniversary, I go to the Hallmark. Usually I get, like Valentine's or birthdays, I can get those knocked out of the grocery store or something.
Yeah. Or the DG.
Yeah. But for the anniversary, 21 years yesterday, by the way, I thought, well, I'll go ahead and get the very best. Boy, was that a mistake.
Did you guys do the joke about how your marriage now can drink? Legally.
You know, we did, although I said, if we're being honest, darling, ours is a marriage that would have underage drank.
Good for you.
And she said, you're right.
You're absolutely right.
And for a very long time.
And as a matter of fact, this marriage would not have happened if it wasn't for heavy drinking.
Oh, well, that's not entirely true. But it's not altogether false. 6:56.
It helped.
Didn't hurt.
Didn't hoit.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's top five things. Thanks for downloading it, listening to it, and hopefully enjoying it.
Yeah, that would be the best part.
In that order, until we get a chance to do it for you again. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reppin' spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
And that's how she wrote.
Vaya, con Dios.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.